verses of this epistle of John, 1 John, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse number 1, reading down through verse number 13. Thank you for that song. That's very simple and to the point. Tell someone how precious he is. That's just what it means to be a witness. 1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which of course is Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We'll stop reading with verse number 13. The title of my message today is God's Gift to Sinners. The first congregational hymn that we sang today was Only a Sinner, Saved by Grace. And that's true of all of us that are saved today in this congregation. We're only a sinner, saved by grace. But I want to preach about God's gift to sinners. Now that's, you know, we need to think about this a minute before we get into the message. We don't normally think about giving gifts to sinners. I mean, our morality is such that we are selective about who we give gifts to, our family, people that are kind to us, people that we admire. That's the people we give gifts to. But just think about this staggering statement before we get into the message. God's gift to sinners. Only a sinner, saved by grace. That speaks of God's gift. And it speaks of his person. Who is God? He's certainly not like us. We're selective with our gift giving. We don't give to our enemies. We don't give to those who are immoral. We, at times, are like the Pharisees. We look down our nose at them. But nonetheless, the message of John is that God's witness is to us that he gave gifts to sinners. In verse 11, we'll read it again. This is the record. This is God's witness. This is God's testimony that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Eternal life. chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, let's just read the first two verses of 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Talking about Christ. John had seen him. Which we have looked upon, we gazed upon him, and our hands have handled. We touched him. Of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. What John is doing in this epistle is bringing home the glorious fact that Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's why he says in verse number 12, he that hath the Son, in our text, 1 John 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Eternal life is in a person. When we talk about, and John brought this simple argument before us, if we receive, in verse 9, the witness of men, and we do every day, we receive the witness of men, time and time again. Men tell us something, we believe them. We act upon it. The witness of God is greater. If we would act on the witness of men, if we respond to what men tell us to do, take a prescription, for example, you have no idea whether it's laced with fentanyl or not. They're doing that now. But you go down to the drugstore and the doctor's given them a prescription. You take it home and you gladly take it. It's going to make you better, you hope. That's a witness of men. We receive the witness of men in legal documents. We receive the witness of men throughout our days, time and again. Men tell us, we accept it, we act on it. John says, in contrast, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. How much more confidence, how much more assurance, how much more gladly should we receive something that God has told us than receive the witness of men? And then he says in the last part of verse 9, for this is the witness of God, that God hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. That's God's testimony. He tells us. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the witness in yourself. It's there. And it says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Boy, John's playing time. In this epistle, he doesn't hesitate to call people liars. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, and because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. We don't receive the record of God. We call God a liar because we've not received what he tells us. So I want to deal with this today. Again, the title is God's Gift to Sinners. God's given us a witness that he's given us eternal life. And this eternal life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's God's word. That's God's testimony. How many times do we read in the Bible the statement, gift of God, the gift of God, time and time again? The Bible says it's given to us. We know that. We've believed that. We've accepted that. At least in an outward profession to become a member of this church, you must accept that. I mean, we ask that of you. Do you believe you're saved? Do you believe that you've been born again? Do you have the witness in yourself that you are a child of God? Have you received the witness of God? John 3:16, I suppose one of the simplest and most recognized verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave... Emphasis, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's gift to sinners is Christ. Now you may think that rather simple, but you haven't thought it through yet. Christ is the Father's gift to sinners who receive him. He doesn't give that gift to the righteous. How many times did he tell the Pharisees? He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the lost. He came to save the sinners. And God's gift to the sinner is Christ. Very simple, but oh, how profound this statement is. God so loved the world. You know, when someone gives a gift, if it's a proper gift, we accept it as a demonstration, as a token of love. And we try to recognize that. It humbles us that someone give us a gift. And beloved, if God gives us such a gift as this, it ought to humble us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, to give you a gift of money or material things is one thing, but how about to give you the gift of his greatest treasure, his own Son? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's read Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy. Just turn back a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and reading it with me. Verse number 15. This is a faithful saying. Again, this is a witness. This is a testimony. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Did Paul receive the witness of God? Certainly he had to make a statement like this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He accepted the testimony of God. Paul believed and was sure. You can read how that he believed and was sure and knew, because he received the gift of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's gift to sinners. Oh yes, he gives us health and he gives us blessings. He gives us many other things. But the greatest gift that God could give any person was Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize that. Remember Zacchaeus up a tree when he came down? This day is salvation come to this man's house. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was a sinner when he went up a tree. He was a saved man when he came down. Why? Because he received the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come down, Zacchaeus. I must abide at thy house today. He simply received the truth from Jesus Christ, and he came down and he was a changed person. We receive men's testimony. I can't emphasize that enough. You go to work, you don't have to sign a contract most of the time to get a job. You just say, okay, I'll be there. And you have to sign up for your health benefits. But most of the time, you just, okay, I'll be here if you'll pay me. And you're expecting them to pay you. You receive their testimony. And when payday comes, if they don't pay you, you got an issue, because you took them at their word. And we do that thousands of times. So I want to emphasize this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. It's more emphatic. It's more reliable. It's something we can really trust in. Reading verse 9 again. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. That's the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. All you have to do to be lost is just don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that too. Tells us why the condemnation is there, because we receive not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this morning, after this first point, God's gift to the sinner is Christ Jesus. Do you reject gifts? Are you embarrassed to say, no, 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 I don't want that gift. I'm not taking that gift. Do you insult people by refusing to take a gift which came because of concern or love or whatever the motive was? That's not wise, is it? Matter of fact, it'll bring shame to you. But let me ask you, will you neglect this gift? Have you neglected the gift that God gives to sinners? You're a sinner. We all are. Have you neglected the gift that God gives to sinners? The Lord Jesus Christ. Will you acknowledge at least that God alone can give it? You can't give it. The church can't give it. The preacher can't give it. All the people combined cannot give you eternal life. God says He gives it. Will you accept it or do you reject it? Will you at least acknowledge that He's the only one that can give it to you? The Bible says, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. That's God's testimony. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very simple, very direct. But secondly, this morning, Christ is His own gift to sinners. Not only does the Father so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but the Son Himself is His own gift to sinners. Let's turn back again a few pages to Titus, chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Start reading with me in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace. You know what grace indicates? Gift. You can't buy it. God doesn't want you to. He gives it to you. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I want to emphasize this. He gave Himself for us. What is the gift that Christ the Son gives to the sinner? He gives Himself, just like the Father gave His Son. The Son gives Himself. The next verse says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He gave Himself for us. It wasn't just that the Father so loved that He gave. He did. He gave up His Son. He permitted Him to come down to this vile earth and to live among sinners and be mocked and rebuked and spit upon and made fun of and eventually be crucified. He gave up His Son. But the Son gave up Himself for sinners. Galatians 2:20. Again, just a few pages back. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Testimony of the Apostle Paul. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. God's gift to sinners. The gift of the Father to sinners is the Son. The gift of the Son to sinners is Himself. Read also Matthew 11, 28 through 30, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ while here on this earth. Matthew 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's a gift. He's not a burden. We read in 1 John, his commandments are not grievous. God's gifts are to be received freely. And when Jesus Christ gives a gift to the sinner, he gives himself. Not just merely blessings. Certainly, we have all of that. But himself. The one gift that will deliver every sinner from all the guilt that he feels about his sin. From all the shame that he might feel about the things that he's done against the holy God. From all the poverty that sin brings into a person's life. All the destruction, all the heartache, all the tears. The one thing, the one gift that will heal you of all that is Christ gave himself. Now I guess again, can you refuse this gift? Would you refuse such a gift as that? What, you too proud? You too proud to receive a gift like this, which encompasses every part of time and eternity? It's eternal life, my friend. He gave himself for me, Paul says. Can you refuse the gift of himself? Can you at least acknowledge that he's the only one that can do anything to help you? You should acknowledge that. You may despise the gift, you may refuse to take the gift, but you better acknowledge your only hope is that someday you receive this gift. Because God the Father gives Christ to a sinner. God the Son gives himself to the sinner. Which brings us to my third point, which you probably already have formulated in your mind. Christ is the Holy Spirit's gift to the sinner. Was it not the voice of the Spirit, which Isaiah was speaking about, I believe, back in the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 24, thou shalt hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. What was the hand that reached out to you, and what gift did it have in it? What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do? He shall testify of me, for he shall receive of mine and shall give it unto you. What is a gift of the third person of the Godhead to the sinner? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, verse 17. I'm going to read just one verse to you. It's very brief. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What is the message of the Spirit to the sinner? Come. Come where? Come to who? Come to Christ. His hand is held out to us with an offer of the eternal life that's found in Jesus Christ. Will you reject the gift that's offered? You hear a voice. I believe when a person's saved, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means the Spirit of God begins to work in your heart. It begins to point you to Christ, and it begins to say, if you'll come to him, you can have everlasting life. He's a gift. I'm giving him to you. Receive him. The message of the Spirit is clearly about Christ. Read the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. See how many times Jesus emphasized this. He shall receive of mine and shall give it unto you. His message is not about himself. The Holy Spirit's message is not about himself. It's about Christ. Because he's a gift that the Spirit gives. He's a gift that the Father gives. He's a gift that he himself gives to the sinner. You see, beloved, the three persons of the Godhead offer the same gift. Message doesn't change. Now let me just ask you to stop and please meditate with me. How do you measure this gift? How do you measure it right now? If you reject it, you've measured it as insignificant, unimportant. I don't care about it. But those of us who are saved, how do we really measure that kind of a gift? What kind of love wrapped that gift? You know, usually when you give a gift, you put it, you want to keep it a little secret, so you put it in wrapping paper so they won't know what it is until they open it up, and you love to see the surprise on their faces. What kind of gift does God the Father give? What kind of gift does Jesus Christ give in himself? What kind of gift does the Holy Spirit, how's it wrapped? How do we possibly understand the value of such a gift that gives us eternal life? In our text, we read verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. What kind of a gift is this? There's nothing can compare with it. All the treasures on earth, all the gold, all the whole earth itself, the universe, is not worth this gift. Men strive and fight to gain material things and leave the greatest gift that man could ever have. Reject it. Despise it. Have no time for it. But you can't measure the value of this gift. It's not possible. And then secondly, consider how great your sin is that it requires this kind of a gift to reconcile you to God. His only begotten Son. His treasure. How great is my sin that the only thing that will ever satisfy God for my guilt, my sin, my shame, my condemnation, my law breaking, all that I've done, what kind of a gift does it take? This kind of a gift. This is the only gift that God will accept to reconcile you and me to himself. Our sin must be very great. It must be immeasurable. Paul in Romans 8, if you'll turn there, and I would like you to read this with me. Book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Beginning in the 28th verse, he outlines the doctrines of the grace of God, which we'll not take the time to read. I trust that you know those. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. You know who loves God? Those who received his testimony, those who received his word, those who received his gift. The gift of the Father, they received. The gift of the Son, they received. The gift of the Spirit, they received. Therefore, they love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. And notice in verse number 31, because Paul asks a question here, a very pointed question, what shall we then say to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? If God is so for us that he gave us this kind of a gift, the only thing that would ever satisfy him for my guilt and my shame and my disgrace and my disobedience and my ugliness and all that I am, the only gift that he would ever accept is the gift of his Son received by me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against it? Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if you give the best you have, you won't hold anything back. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The greatest gift that any man can ever receive comes from the Father, comes from the Son, comes from the Spirit. It's the gift of Christ. The nature of this gift shows us how great our guilt is. My guilt is such, you can't bound it up like a wound and say, well, it'll get well. No, it'll never get well. It's called a putrefying sore. It gets worse and worse. It stinks like leprosy. It's ugly. You can't take a pill to alleviate it. Our guilt, our sin, must satisfy the law, the righteousness of God. It must satisfy the righteousness of God. Nothing can cover it over. Nothing can make it feel better except the righteousness of God. Now, what saith the Scripture? Romans 10, verse number 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see how that perfectly harmonizes with what John has just told us? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. Oh, if the world could only understand. If the religious world could only understand. The end of the law for righteousness is Christ. When you have Christ, you satisfy the law. You haven't bound it over, covered it up, or took a pill to make it feel better. No, you have satisfied God's demand. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And that righteousness must be satisfied. Christ is described as a ransom. He's described as a sacrifice. He's described as a substitute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite scriptures, I suppose, especially if I'm trying to witness to someone, is to take this passage and just read it in its simplicity. This teaches substitution for talking about God. He, the Father, hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made the righteousness of God, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And when he made me to be the righteousness of God, he simply gave me Christ. He substituted me for Christ and Christ for me. The only gift that can remove far away the guilt that is upon every lawbreaker, every sinner, is shown in the infinite love of God the Father to give up, to send his only begotten Son. It's shown in the love of the Son to, as we read in the book of Philippians chapter 2, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he submitted himself even to the death of the cross. He gave himself. He gave his life. The gift of the Spirit is to bring us to Christ and say, here he is. Rest in him. He's all you need. Don't you love that old hymn we used to sing? Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified for me. He died. He's all I need. He removes far away, almost as far as the east is from the west. In the depths of the sea, he removes our guilt, our sin, our just punishment for the infinite evil of sin that's in us. 2 Corinthians 9 In verse number 5, we'll close as we read this. And I hope you can at least agree with the summary that Paul more or less gives us here. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God the Father's gift is the Son. The Son's gift is himself. The Holy Spirit's gift is Christ. And Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable, unmeasurable gift. God the Father's gift, God the Son's gift, and God the Spirit's gift is the same gift, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today that you know him. I pray that you've received him. I pray that he's your hope. He's the only hope of any man. And if that's true, then as we read in Titus, he gave himself for us that he might present unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God help us to live out that scripture. He gave himself for us that he might present himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's our message. Please bow your heads. Father, we come to the close of this message and we pray the Holy Spirit would openly and in the hearts of people reach out the gift of Christ. Present him in such a way that they can see him so clearly that they would forsake everything, just cleave to him. Your unspeakable gift and your testimony and your witness that he that hath the Son hath life. And he hath not the Son of God hath not life. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with us. We sing.